Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host for an hour of the best of old time radio. This week we have a tribute to June Foray, the cartoon voice actress who died this summer at the age of 99. She was well known as the voice of Rocky and many other characters in the cartoon Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. She started in radio at the age of 12 in 1929. We have two episodes of the Stan Freberg Show with some wonderful vocal acting by June Foray. You'll hear her as Miss Universe in the next half hour as we listen to the Stan Freberg Show, first broadcast July 28, 1957 on CBS.
What do you mean, wait in the parking lot? I demand to be heard.
All right, madam, wait a moment.
Miss Universe contest, indeed. I got a few things I'd like to say about that, Buster.
All right, look, I do not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
So when do I get to say it?
Will you have a seat? Hit it, Billy.
This is the first show of a series of a brand new radio series.
From Hollywood, Greenbinder Swim Finch presents the Stan Freberg Show.
With the music of Billy May.
Plus the songs of Peggy Taylor with Doss Butler, June Foray, Peter Leeds, and the Judd Conlon Rhythm Airs.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you on, brought to you on, brought to you on RADI.
Here he is, Stan Freberg.
Uh-huh. See, actually, I expect a little more of an ovation, a little more of a tribute than that, Fred.
Yeah.
That sounded kind of like a seal.
Well, just a moment, and I'll check with the sound man. Hey, Charlie, that a seal? Yeah, it was a seal.
Oh, come on, you folks in the studio audience. Let the people at home know there's somebody here beside one miserable seal. Thank you. That's a little more like it. I just wanted CBS Radio to know that I have many fans among the flippered folk. After all, CBS is investing quite a chunk of money in my show. I mean, when you consider that they could have taken the same money and bought the screen rights to the Santa Monica phone directory, a 300-page paper on the underlying significance of the geophysical year by Jane Mansfield, and a pretty good-sized chicken ranch in Pacoima, it makes a man feel pretty humble. Matter of fact, I feel so humble I can hardly walk. Which reminds me, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the show. You folks at home may...
Us folks at home, get a load of that guy.
Oh, Sylvan, I was listening to that.
They should have bought the chicken ranch.
I was trying to listen to that.
And I was trying to read Orphan Annie. Hey, get a load of that mountain lion.
I'd like to get a load of Freberg. Will you turn him on, Sylvan?
Okay, okay.
Guy says alligator, I thought you said bagpipe.
With this, he gets laughs.
Sylvan, you didn't hear the whole joke.
Alligator, I thought you said bagpipe, too.
Gotta remember to try that on the boys.
Turn him back on, Sylvan. We're probably missing something.
All right. Will you relax, Velma? We've only had him off for 11 seconds. Now, what could he do in 11 seconds?
Inside Oklahoma, Oklahoma.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our capsule version of Oklahoma. Drop us a card and let us know if you think it suffered in the editing.
Come on, snap it up. When are you going to get around to me?
All right, all right. Now, madam, what is your problem again?
You had a big contest here, right, Miss Universe?
That is true. However, I'm afraid it's over now.
You're telling me it's over? I spent 2 weeks trying to get in that lousy Long Beach lineup.
And they wouldn't pay you any mind, eh?
No mind at all. You got some manners in what you call your world.
Yes, well, just where are you from? I mean, what manner of...
I am Miss Jupiter. I was chosen out of 10,000 girls on our planet.
Miss Jupiter? Why, that's amazing.
Why? Look, the contest was called Miss Universe, right?
Right.
So how come they wouldn't let me in?
Well, you got a point there.
That's my antenna.
Oh, so it is, yeah. Look, Miss Jupiter, how did you get here?
I flew my saucer down. What do you think?
Yes, I see it there. Why don't you climb all the way out of it?
I have climbed all the way out of it. I parked it outside.
Yes, but those wheels. What about those wheels?
Those wheels, as you so indelicately put it, happen to be my best feature. Some girls got curly antennas. Other girls got cute suction cups. I got shapely wheels.
Yeah, they're pretty shapely at that.
You know it, they're shapely. I seen you eyeing them.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't let you in the Miss Universe contest, eh? That's a shame.
Discrimination is what it is. If you're going to run a Miss World contest, run a Miss World contest. If you're going to run a Miss Universe contest, shape up. Let's be tolerant of all planets.
Nicely put. But look, Miss Jupiter.
You can call me Zuzu, honey.
All right, look, Zuzu, honey. Perhaps they found out you were married.
Yeah, but I ain't married and I'm over 18. The least I could do was get a couple of modeling jobs like Leona Gage.
Well, I'm just wondering if your height had anything to do with your being ruled out. How tall are you?
2'1". In high wheels. Think that's too tall?
No, I had in mind the other way around.
Well, it's tall by Jupiter standards, buddy. And how about them measurements, huh?
Yeah, how about them measurements? What are they?
39, 39, 39. Look, don't
knock it. You can count on me. Believe me. Well, look, Zuzu, we'll try and get you a couple modeling jobs.
Oh, get me a couple, will you?
Okay, I'll give him a buzz over at Fantasy and Science Fiction.
Oh, gee, I certainly appreciate that.
Well, from week to week in this spot, as you know, we will be bringing you somewhat unusual elements, including the truth about tree toads, a build-it-yourself Great Wall of China kit, and a child psychologist only 4 years old. Tonight, however, we take you through the magic of radio to romantic Laguna Beach, where the Skin Divers Mandolin Club is holding their annual festival. Here we are in Laguna. Can you hold down the surf, please? Thank you. Here we are in Laguna. This is a sight to behold. Just picture it, ladies and gentlemen. On this beautiful white beach are gathered over 1,000 skin divers in their rubber suits that look for all the world like shiny, long, black underwear. This is truly a scene. This is the moment, ladies and gentlemen, we've been waiting for. Just imagine it. On that whistle, 1,000 snorkels were slurped into place. Now the mandolins are held over the heads of the skin divers. Their picks are ready. And now that romantic moment when, with swim fins flapping, 1,000 skin divers, like a black rubber river, strum their way into the surf and quietly slip into the golden sunset of the blue Pacific. Over the surging of the surf, we hear the gentle picking of their mandolins and the hum of 1,000 snorkels. Yes, it's time again for their 2,600-mile swim for their annual surprise visit to serenade our friends at lovely Waikiki Beach.
in the beautiful Hawaiian Islands, where the temperature never changes.
The temperature in Molokai is 78, in Kahulau, 78, in Liliuokalani, 79.
And as the last mandolin strums into the sunset, we say, arrivederci, frogmen, arrivederci. And good night, Harry Owens, wherever you are.
Peggy, come on out here. Peggy Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. Well, how did you like the Skin Divers Mandolin Club, Peggy?
Oh,
you enjoy that?
Fine, Stan. It's fine. Do you know who invented the first diving suit?
No. Do you?
Why, yes. It was Leonard Norcross of Dixville, Maine, and he patented it on June 14th, 1834, patent number 7644W90.
Oh, of course. Jeez. What's the matter with me forgetting a thing like that? Sakes. By the way, where did you get that fascinating bit of information?
Oh, I get around, Stanley. Like me to sing there?
Yeah, I'd like that. Is Judd Conlon going to sing with you?
Yes, he and five others.
All that and Billy May, too?
Yes.
Gee, it's spectacular. Sing, dear.
I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, dance with me. I want my arms about you. The charm about you will carry me through to
heaven. Heaven.
And my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to see the happiness I see when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. So let's stay out all night and dance it up.
Being ever faithful to the policy that the Freeburg Show goes everything, sees anywhere, and does anyone, we join Field Man Leroy Straddle high in a tree on the banks of justly famous Lake Wacomocketuckapec in northeastern Oregon. Take it away, Leroy Straddle.
Thank you. This is Leroy Straddle here, high in a tree that hangs over the justly famous Lake Wagamugatukatukapek in northeastern Oregon. My, we're pretty high up here today, believe you me. And with me is Mrs. Hagmire Prill, who you may remember, I'm sure, a sculptress and nature lover.
Well, I'm not here with you. I was here before you came.
in a manner of speaking, you are here with me or I am here with you. It does not matter.
Well, it does to me.
All I'm trying to say is, madam...
Let me lay the hogwash and get on with it.
Yes, certainly, certainly. Well, Mrs. Prill is wearing a most interesting costume, I might just add.
Where do you get that interesting costume stuff?
Well, I just noticed that...
Well, all the members of the club wear the same thing when we're in the field. Midi blouses and bloomers are most practical.
And what is the name of your club again?
The Upward and Onward Girls.
The Upward and Onward Girls, eh?
Yes, the Upward and Onward Girls, eh? Do you want to make anything out of it?
No, indeed. No, indeed, I don't. I think that's just fine.
Oh, hush now, listen. That's the yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Well, you could have fooled me. Yes. Now, you all wear the midi blouses and bloomers, is that correct?
Yes, all except Alice Baumgarten. She lives down the street from me, you know.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, she does. She's a lovely girl.
I'm sure she is. We have to move right along.
Yes, well, anyway, Alice wears shorts. I don't like to say it, but she's one of those girls who thinks she's got good-looking legs.
And does she?
Young man, I didn't climb all the way up this tree to discuss Alice Baumgarten's legs.
Well, I'm sure that we didn't climb up to discuss the lake.
Can't you hear it, you idiot?
Can I hear what?
The tree toad.
You mean that group, group? That's a tree toad?
Yes, that is a tree toad or a tree frog. Oh, a very interesting child of nature it is.
Unquestionably. Could you tell us more?
Well, it's one of the tailless amphibia that Mother Nature's adapted to tree living. You see, the tips of its tiny fingers and toes are fitted with weird adhesive discs that adhere to the bark of the tree by the rapid and intense pressure of the distal phalanx.
That's fascinating.
Oh, yes, indeed it is.
Yes, that's fascinating. Yes.
Well, with those discs, the little darlings can go hippity-skippity all over the tree. And do you know what this is, Mrs. Stratton?
No, Mrs. Prill, what is it?
The mating season.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Prill, but I am engaged to a lovely girl.
I'm not talking about you, you clockhead.
Oh.
I'm speaking about tree frogs.
Oh, pardon me, pardon me.
Yes. Well, I was just going to move out on this limb and see if I can find where little mother froggy has laid her eggs.
Yes, well, I wouldn't go too far out
see,
on the limb.
The mother tree frog lays her eggs on a leaf that overhangs the water. Those are the Philomedusae, of course.
Of course. Be a little careful there, Mrs. Prill.
And when eggs hatch, the teeny weeny little tadpoles drop into the water where they spend their larval life. Isn't that interesting? Oh!
Interesting and moist, I'm sure. So while Mrs. Prill is getting a first-hand look at the larval life of the tree toad, it's back to Hollywood. Well, so much for nature study. Now we come to the variety portion of our program.
Oh, what's that going to be, Stan?
You like acrobats, Peggy?
Oh, yes, I sure do.
Good. At this time, I'd like to present for the first time on radio the Zasiloff family.
Zasiloff? What nationality is that?
Swiss. This way we don't offend anyone.
Good.
After 11 times on the Ed Sullivan Show, and what with the circus out of business, there was no plate cells for them to go. Ladies and gentlemen, the Zasiloff family! Wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could see this. They're building a human pyramid of bodies. Whoa, there he is, up in the air. Look at that. He's hanging by one. And now, the floor. Whoa, wonderful. He's on the teeterboard now, wearing purple shorts. And, whoa, there he goes. And being suspended by the...
How do you like that guy? Acrobats on radio.
I rather enjoyed it, Sylvan.
Velma, maybe you're not well.
Do you mind if I hear the Freeburg program?
Oh, Velma.
Come on. We probably missed his version of My Fair Lady or something.
Yeah, that'll be the day. We probably missed some interesting thing like the discussion on projected hoe handle production for fiscal year 56-57.
Don't be ridiculous. Turn him on.
Oh, all right.
Certainly want to thank you, Mr. Armstead Fragg, for coming up here and giving us your views on projected hoe handle production for fiscal year 56-57.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Freeberg. The pleasure was mine.
Many of you who heard our historical sketch on Barbara Frietchie may be asking yourselves rather indignantly where we got our information. Well, I'll tell you where we got our information from our historical research man, Mr. Robert E. Tainter. Well, Mr. Tainter...
Call me Bob, Stan.
Well, Bob, can you give us a little of your background?
Well, Stan, I'm a research specialist. I started out on the editorial staff of one of America's leading publications.
And that was?
Confidential.
And are you still with them?
No. They had no guts. I really couldn't work for a magazine that just pussyfoots around. When I get a story, I want it printed.
Well, I admire a man of conviction. And by the way, have you had many?
The longest was 30 days.
Well, tell us, Bob, what did you do before Confidential?
I worked with the police department.
Oh. I see. A detective?
No, stool pigeon stand. I was on regular salary.
Mm-hmm. A sort of civil service snitch, as it were.
Quite, yes.
Well, how did you happen to get into historical expose?
Well, I found there was a wealth of dirty linen in the history hamper.
Nicely put. Well, you have a rather refreshing point of view, Mr. Tainter.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah. I know. Well, some people, you know, they look at the idols. I look at the clay feet.
An interesting hobby.
Yeah. I got a collection of clay feet that'd knock your hat off.
I'll bet. Well, tell me, what historical illusion are you about to destroy for us this evening?
Tonight, Stan, I have picked Custer's Last Stand.
Oh. Perhaps you'd better come back
time. Look, it's not General Custer himself. I mean, I'm still working on him.
Yes, I know, but
he has this colonel, you see.
Yeah, I'd really rather not hear about it.
Please, Stan, listen. Come here, Stan.
Yeah, all right. What?
General Custer.
What? Yes, and then what?
Oh, who goes there?
Put down that rifle, you idiot. It's me.
Oh, gee, Colonel, sir, it's you. I didn't recognize you in the dark.
Yeah.
Did you have a hard ride, sir?
Of course I had a hard ride. Why do you think my horse is all covered with lather?
Well, I didn't know. I thought maybe you were going to shave him.
All right, never mind. Come in my tent.
Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, sir, did you ride all the way to Little Bighorn?
Yes.
Did you see any Indians?
Yeah, I saw a couple, yes.
Just a couple?
Well, there might have been a half a dozen or so. I really didn't count them. Look, Jenkins, stand up next to me back to back, will you?
Okay, sir.
Mm-hmm. A hair shorter. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll have to do. Here, my boy, slip into my coat.
Me? Put your coat on,
Shh,
Colonel?
Keep your voice down. Keep your voice down.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
And close that tent flap and don't slam it.
Oh, yes.
All right. Here. Put on my boots.
Yes, sir. Oh. Hey, this is sure fun, Colonel. I always wanted to dress up like an officer.
Mm-hmm. How's the boots?
Well, they feel pretty big.
A little big, are they?
Have you got the same thing in a 9.5 AAA?
No, I'm afraid I haven't. Here, drop these marbles in them.
Oh.
You'll appear taller as well.
Okay, Colonel.
Here's my hat. And here, wear my sword.
Oh, Colonel, sir, I couldn't put on your sword.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Hurry it up, please.
Gee, do you mind if I primp a little in front of your mirror?
No, I guess not, but be quick about it.
Oh,
hurry
boy.
Up.
Attention! Straighten up that line, man. Hurry,
shh,
guys.
Hey, be quiet.
What's the matter?
Your voice
what?
Down.
Oh. Hey, Colonel. Hey, Colonel, so how come you're putting on that Indian headdress and that war paint?
Well, it's a little masquerade I'm going to. kind of a practical joke I'm playing on General Custer.
Oh, practical? Oh, I love jokes. Gee, when he sees me in your suit, he'll think I'm you, huh?
I'm banking on that.
Gee, Colonel, sir, you look for all the world like a real American Indian.
Ugh.
Hey, that's rich, sir. That's
lower your
rich.
Voice. Hey, keep your voice down.
Oh, my voice down. Oh, yeah.
All right, now hurry up.
Say, Colonel, sir, what I'll tell General Custer if he asks me if I saw any Indians to the west?
Tell him anything you want. And by the way, Jenkins, which way is east?
That way,
that,
I think.
That way right there. All right,
yes,
fine.
Sir.
Thank you. I'll thank you not to tell the general about our little secret. It's a better joke that way.
Oh, you can count on me, sir. Hey, Colonel, sir, I think I hear Indians on a warpath. Is that part of the joke, too?
In a manner of speaking, yes. Quickly, is your horse saddled up?
Yes, sir, it's right outside.
All right, then, I'm off.
But, Colonel, sir, what horse will I ride?
Jenkins, I'm going to give you my very own horse. You can ride right next to General Custer.
Ah, gee, Colonel, I couldn't take that honor away from you.
Jenkins, be my guest.
Colonel! Colonel, come quickly! We're under attack!
Gosh, sir. General Custer's here.
There on all sides of us, Colonel! In fact, I could have sworn I just saw an Indian riding away from your tent.
You don't say so, General.
Oh, I'm losing my mind. Quickly, quickly, get on your horse, Colonel. There's no time to lose. Look at them. There must be 10,000 Indians. To arms, man!
April Fool, General Custer. It's just a big Indian masquerade. The joke's on you.
Was a little close, eh?
Gee, aren't we having fun, General Custer? This is the best Indian masquerade I was ever at.
Gee, Mr. Tainter, are you sure that's the way it happened?
And take it from me.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't much of a masquerade.
No, that wasn't quite the word,
no. Well, how do you happen to know this story?
Well, because the colonel who rode to the east on Jenkins' horse was my grandfather.
Amazing. And what was his name?
He never told me. He was too ashamed.
Understandable. And that Indian war bonnet you're holding in your hand, is that the very one he wore?
Yes, Stan. It's a family heirloom.
Those feathers, are they eagle?
No, Stan. Chicken.
Thank you so much. Well, we've received so many cards and letters congratulating us on the fable we did on our first show 2 weeks ago that we have been truly overwhelmed here at CBS. From a personal standpoint, I am deeply grateful and delighted that you enjoyed Incident at Los Verosis. We have another such fable planned in the immediate future. And, oh yes, to the Nevada Chamber of Commerce, thanks so much for the do-it-yourself hangman's noose kit. You really shouldn't have. So until next week, then, this is Stan Freeberg saying thanks for listening, God bless you, and good night.
Stan Freeberg's show is produced in Hollywood by Pete Barnum and is written by Stan Freeberg and Pete Barnum with original songs by Stan Freeberg. Featuring the music of Billy May, Jud Conlon for the Mayors, and the songs of Peggy Taylor, the Frost Butler, Peter Lee, and June Foray. Also in the cast were Virginia Gregg and her bridegroom, Bud Sewell speaking.
Well, how did you like the Stan Freeberg show?
You can't go by me.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. This is your host, Justine Ward. The Stan Freberg Show took Jack Benny's slot during his summer vacation in 1957. They never found a sponsor, perhaps because they made fun of sponsors, and the show ended after its summertime run. But the comedy was brilliant. Freberg assembled an ensemble of radio actors, including Dawes Butler and June Foray, who we are honoring this week. In this episode, they reprise a sketch that they did on a best-selling comedy record. Here is the Stan Freberg Show, first broadcast September 1st, 1957, on CBS.
This is the eighth show of a series of a brand new radio series.
From Hollywood, we present the Stan Freberg Show.
With the music of Billy May.
Plus the songs of Peggy Taylor with Dawes Butler, June Foray, Peter Leeds, and the Judd Conlon Rhythmaires.
You may not find us on your TV.
Because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you on. Brought to you on. Brought to you on RADI.
Thank you very much. And to start us off tonight, we've invited back for the second time on our show the Zasiloff family. As we told you, they're Swiss. This way, we didn't offend anyone. This is probably one of the finest acrobatic acts in the business, and rather a novelty on radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the Zasiloff family! Here they go, ladies and gentlemen. Magnificent to see. I wish you could see it. And they're bouncing up in the air. Look at that. Why, he's holding them up in the air by one.
Hey!
Very good. And now wearing purple tights. And look at that. My goodness, that's amazing. 18 men, ladies and gentlemen, on one end of a... Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. Now on the way to the show,
Hey, Stan.
Well, what is it, Dawes Butler, as they say in radio?
What are we going to do next?
Well, I'll tell you, Dawes, I was wondering the other day.
Wondering what?
How the good humor man stand it. Can you imagine driving an ice cream truck around all day long, let alone all summer long, with the same song flailing you about the ears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often do they change that song, I wonder?
I don't know.
Gee, those chimes, would drive me nuts.
Yeah, what song do you hear most often?
London Bridge is Falling Down. How about you?
I hear London Bridge quite a bit. Pop Goes the Weasel is very big on our street. Let's write a screenplay about it, okay?
Okay, and let's have the titles appear on ice cream bars.
That's good, that's good.
Freeburg presents Uninterrupted Melody. This is the story of men in uniform, their loves, their hopes, their dreams, and of the task to which they have so devoted their lives. Yes, to that gallant corps of heroes, the good humor men of America, is this picture respectfully dedicated. Do you know what it's like, after having a day off with the family, to try to sleep on the night before you report back for action? Do you know what it's like to lie there and live with fear? Charlie Krasmeyer knows.
Charlie, what are you doing?
I'm lying here living with fear.
Well, try and get some sleep, sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just lying here thinking about tomorrow.
Well, you just mustn't lie there thinking about tomorrow.
Tomorrow, it's Pop Goes the Weasel and... hundreds of grimy little hands reaching out for ice cream bars. Walter Yoder cracked up last week. I saw him when he took him away, Sue. It wasn't pretty.
Oh, hush, hush.
Are you sorry you married a good humor man?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Oh, no, no.
Are you sure? No? Are you sure it wasn't just the glamour of the uniform and all?
Charlie. Charlie, I'd love you whether you had that white coat or not.
Yes, men like Charlie Krasmeyer know their job is no easy one, but they live with it, and they report for duty every day at the plant, where their boss, the chief, Commander F.C. Barr, is just now entering the building. He opens the door and confronts a small, bald man with horn-rimmed spectacles who looks up from the piano. Green?
Morning, Commander.
Yes, what's going on around here? That's all I want to know, Green. I heard one of our trucks over in Westwood playing hound dog.
But, FC...
Listen, I had that truck taken out of service immediately. Nursery songs, that's all I want to hear. They don't cost us anything.
But, FC, the men get punchy from nursery songs. They're cracking up out there.
Cracking up, you say? Nonsense. Every American loves nursery songs. Besides, they're free.
Yeah, but...
Maybe you'd like to go back to television and write Briar Patch Leg jingles.
Okay, that's my sore spot. Say, here's a little thing I've been working on this morning. Now, how does this strike you? The three little kittens, they lost their mittens, and they began to cry. Meow! Meow!
Wait a minute.
Meow,
hold it.
Me.
Hold it. Sure you aren't using a Castellanos arrangement?
Positive.
It's good.
Oh, yes.
By one of our more enthusiastic salesmen, I see.
A cue card for 3 days now. He came in last week.
Get him out of here. Take him out. He's too enthusiastic. Get him out. From the acute ward, you say?
Yeah, poor devil. I know him. His name is Heinegger.
He had the nerve to ask me to take him off London Bridge and put him on Yankee Doodle 2 weeks ago. But he had a month to go yet. That's the trouble with labor today. Wishy-washy.
That's right, FC.
You bet that's right. Now get back to work. I got an employee pep meeting in 5 minutes. This is the briefing room where every morning 200 white-coated good-humor men sit glumly staring into space, horribly calm, not daring to think about the day ahead of them, only anxious to get the job done. All righty, men. Yes. Thank you for that splendid ovation. Let's stand up and sing our little song now, and let's sing it like we were in a good humor, eh? Yes.
Humor, humor, yes, we are good humor. That is not no rumor. Yay, bo! Music, music, how we love the
music. That's why.
Lovely nursery music, tingling as we go. Earplugs, earplugs, we won't wear at all, or we will be sentenced to 100 days of Yankee Doodle, a tutti frutti, salad by the oodle. Good humor, we love you. Yay.
Well, that was fine, just fine, man. You can tell a real GH man every time, I always say. You know, you don't eat our bars with your fingers. There's a stick to it. Well, man, that's the key to successful selling. Stick to it, right?
Yay.
Yes, ice cream salesmen are the backbone of this nation, if you ask me. You men keep up the good work, and one day soon, I'll have your chimes tuned. See if I won't. Now, I won't hold you, because I know you're anxious to get out in the field.
Pardon me, Mr. Barr, sir.
Well, Charlie Krasmeyer, what is it?
I've been on Pop Goes the Weasel for 3 weeks now. Could I please trade with Jones here? He's got 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie.
You know the rules, Cransmire. The cycle's 8 weeks.
I can't stand Pop Goes the Weasel. I come home at night, I can't sleep. All night long I hear a penny for a spool of thread, a penny for a needle. I'm sick of it. Sick, sick, sick.
Oh, now, let me have his song, sir. I like Pop Goes the Weasel, honestly.
Nonsense. Pop Goes the Weasel is Cransmire's assignment. Just for that outburst, Charlie, you can't have 4 and 20 blackbirds at all. When your time is up, you'll get the farmer in the dell.
Not the farmer in the dell! I had that last cycle!
Get back in your seat, sir.
We can hear muffs or don't we?
Well, we can talk about it.
What do you mean, talk about it?
Put me down! This is mutiny!
Oh, spies, beans, and barley grow. Oh, spies, beans, oh, nursery songs, nuts. I am the laughing stock of Robbins, Feist, and Miller. I gotta get away from this. I'll just take a shortcut through the parking lot here. Hey, that's funny. Somebody left their motor running. What's this? Somebody bound and gagged in the front seat. Heavens to popsicles! FC, it's you! And somebody's tied greasy ropes around your nice brown suit. FC, that ain't no brown suit. You've been dipped. Let me get that gag out of your mouth there. Oh, gee, boss, you got little bumps all over. You must be all pecan crunch underneath the chocolate.
Yes, for you, Charlie Krasmeyer, and thousands of ice cream men like you, courage is not a sometime thing, and a tin ear helps.
Salute you, men in white coats. You're a brave and gallant bunch. You stand for right and liberty to say nothing of pecan crunch.
Thank you. Well, we hope you enjoyed our stirring documentary tonight, Uninterrupted Melody. Now, some folks might think this would be a good spot in the show for Peggy Taylor to sing. It is. She's going to sing not 79, not 81, but around the world in 80 days. Count them.
Around the world I've searched for you. I traveled on when hope was gone to keep a rendezvous. I knew somewhere, sometime, somehow, you'd look at me and I would see the smile you're smiling now. It might have been in County Down, or in New York, or Gay Paris, or even London Town. No more will I go all around the world, for I have found my world in you. Et sans espoir de rendez-vous, tout de même je continue. Je sais quelque part, quelque temps, quelquefois, Vous me regardez et je vois votre serré du moment. Cela aurait pu être quotidien ou à New York ou à Paris ou même à London Town. Plus jamais irai je tout le monde que j'ai trouvé mon monde en toi.
Once again, it's time to meet our panel of experts who are back with us tonight as we ran over 2 weeks ago and we did not finish our discussion. I'm glad that you could be back with us, Dr. Linus Quoit.
Thank you. It's nice being back.
Mr. G.L. Spoon.
Good evening, friends in Radioland.
And finally, Mrs. Edna St. Louis, Missouri.
The pleasure's all mine. Although it does seem to me I got second billing last time.
Yes.
After all, I do have a master's degree in Tarzan.
Yes. Yes, indeed, Miss Missouri. Well, be that it may, we're not going to bring up tonight any of the other things we discussed 2 weeks ago. For example, whether or not Orphan Annie has one red dress and one pair of long white cotton stockings that she washes daily and wears over and over, or many red dresses and many white cotton stockings.
I know that one.
Oh, Doctor, I know you do. I know you do, but
I do know that answer.
Yes, I know you do, but we won't go into that, shall we?
I'll get a doctor's degree in Little Orphan Annie for nothing.
Yes, well...
Boy, you know, this guy's really got the rub in that doctor's degree.
Yeah, well shall we move ahead to other questions?
Well, I rubbed it in.
But we promised out. Yeah, I know we did. Now, shall we... Well, you promised. Now, you promised. You gave me your word out in the hall before we went on the air that we wouldn't have any kind of discussion.
Yes, huh? That's absolutely true.
Oh, thank you.
Let's pass the peace pipe here, for goodness sake. Yeah. Now, I've received my master's degree in Tarzan,
boy.
And you insulted the ideal of my life when you said Tarzan was 72 years old and wore a hairpiece.
Well, he does. I'll apologize if Mr. Spoon will.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well, okay, look, I'm sorry. I'll take back what I said about Tarzan's hairpiece. If you will apologize publicly for calling Dick Tracy a big jerk. Listen, Tracy happens to be, and the biographers will agree, one of the greatest living American heroes. And he's just recovering from a severe head wound as well.
Well, I'm terribly sorry. I apologize.
Oh,
I
yes,
do.
Indeed. Aren't we getting along famously here tonight?
Well, it's very nice of you. It's very nice. And believe me, Miss Missouri, I didn't mean to insult Tarzan. Between you and I...
Between you and me, Mr.
Ooh, that education.
It's rather nice of her to do that to you.
Between you and I, he's a great ape man, and truthfully, if you didn't get right up there on the newspaper with a magnifying glass, you couldn't tell he wears a wig.
Wears a wig?
Yeah, he does wear a wig.
You should have as much hair on your bare skin rug.
Oh, well, I don't think it's going to be
on. Please,
people shout. Simmer down.
The bell.
Simmer shout. Out in the hall. No more discussion.
Put us on slow, boy.
Yeah, sorry. Now we'll go to our first question tonight. It's in Dick Tracy. Now, this is the question. Does or does not Junior wear a fright wig?
Well, the answer to that has to be negative.
Negative.
It's the boy's own hair, and it certainly doesn't take Dick Tracy to figure out where that question came from, Miss Missouri.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Spoon. I had nothing to do with that question.
Oh, no, those,
look,
those questions...
People, well, send
I told you,
send
Mr.
Here, let me... I have a question. I have something to say. Listen, people... Yes. Be that as it may, it is a fright wig on the boy.
It is not a fright wig on
it's
the boy.
It's a fright
Listen,
wig.
It is not. It's the same hair that any 12-year-old boy
would
wear.
12-year-old boy?
Well, certainly.
Why, he's older than Little Orphan Annie.
I take that as a personal affront, madam.
Stockings.
So then, please. We've been all through this. If anybody should be drawing Social Security, it's you and Tarzan. Should look that good in white cotton stockings.
Yes. Please, watch.
Look, Junior, yes, the subject is Junior, right?
That's right.
He's a normal American boy that any mother would be proud to call her son. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's an artistic boy as well.
How many boys do you know who could sketch pictures for the crime lab like he does?
Well, don't make me sick to my stomach. You don't believe that kid really draws those pictures, do you? Oh, boy. Listen, he's got a ghost artist, and if he does draw them, I could take that cigar of yours and draw a better picture with the ash. I could.
Gentlemen, we are having just a little bit of fun at the round table tonight, aren't we?
Oh, it's lovely.
I'd like to see it, Sandy.
Sandy, that idiot animal.
Please.
How would you like me to punch you in that big, fat, uneducated nose?
Let's move on to the next subject now, huh, shall we?
All right.
Now, could or could not Buck Rogers beat Flash Gordon in a ray gun fight?
Tarzan could make monkeys out of both of them.
Take him against Punjab and Mr. Am with his disintegrator cane and it'd be a one-sided affair, I'll tell you that.
Now listen, I happen to live by the Dick Tracy Code, and we're here to stop ray gun fights, not to encourage them. You're talking about a showdown in self-defense. Tracy can wipe up Rogers, Gordon, Punjab, Sandy, and the antique ape man.
Oh.
And he can do it with Cardooey under one arm and a bandaged head.
Why, you viper!
Antique
you are a viper!
Ape man.
Well, once again, that concludes another chapter of Face the Fun. First of all, it's good night to Mr. G.L. Spoon.
If someone shoots you in the chest, extract the bullet and look for small telltale bore markings on the slug and then call a doctor. That's a crime stopper.
Yes, indeed. And it's good night to Dr. Linus Quite.
Leaping lizards. Some folks don't realize just how lucky they are until some other folks shows them how much they've got. Little Orphan Annie, King Feature Syndicate, 1947.
Yeah. finally, our Tarzan expert, Miss Edna St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, so much for literature. We have received so many card and letter. Asking us to do St. George and the Dragon that, to say nothing of countless phone call, that we have decided to dig it out of the trunk tonight and dust it off. I'm very fortunate to have the two people who made the original record with me, June Foray and Dawes Butler, who also wrote it with me. Peter, if you please.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him. Call me, Chief.
Yeah, it's a dragon again, devouring maidens. A king's daughter may be next.
Mm-hmm. Got a lead?
No, nothing much to go on. Say, did you take that .45 automatic into the lab to have him check on it?
Yeah, you were right.
I was right?
Yeah, it was a gun. 8:22 p.m. I talked to one of the maidens who had almost been devoured.
are you?
I'm St. George, ma'am. Homicide, ma'am. I want to ask you a few questions, ma'am. I understand you were almost devoured by the mam. Is that right, dragon?
It was terrible. He breathed fire on me. He burned me already.
How can I be sure of that, ma'am?
Believe me, I got it straight from the dragon's mouth.
11:45 p.m. I rode over the King's Highway. I saw a man, stopped to talk to him. Pardon me, sir, could I talk for just a minute, sir?
Sure, I don't mind.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a knave.
Didn't I pick you up in a 903 last year for stealing tarts?
Yeah? So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
No, sir, we heard there was a dragon operating in this neighborhood. We just want to know if you've seen him.
Sure, I seen him.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe him for me?
What's to describe? You see one dragon, you've seen them all.
Could you try and remember, sir, just for the record? We just want to get the facts.
Well, he was, you know, he had orange polka dots.
Yes, sir.
Purple feet, breathing fire and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And one big bloodshot eye right in the middle of his forehead and like that.
Notice anything unusual about him?
No, he was just a run-of-the-mill dragon, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. All right, you can go now.
Hey, by the way, how are you going to catch him?
I thought you'd never ask. A dragon net. 3:05 p.m. I was riding back into the courtyard to make my report to the lab. Then it happened. It was a dragon.
Hey! I'm the fire-breathing dragon! You must be St. George, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you got one of them new 45 caliber swords.
That's about the size of it.
You slay me!
That's what I want to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I'm taking you in a 502. You figure it out.
What's the charge?
Devouring maidens out of season.
Out of season? You never pin that rap on me? Do you hear me, cop?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you in a 412, too.
A 412? What's a 412?
Overacting. Let's go.
September the 5th, the dragon was tried and convicted. His fire was put out and his maiden-devouring license revoked. Maiden-devouring out of season is punishable by a term of not less than 50 or more than 300 years.
We're little folks, so good night, late. I mean, we're little good night, so folks, late. We're a little... Well, never mind. Until the next week, this is Stan Freeberg saying thanks for listening. God bless you and good night.
The Stan Freeberg Show is produced in Hollywood by Pete Barnum and is written by Stan Freeberg, Pete Barnum, and Dawes Butler. Featuring the music of Billy Mays, Judd Conlon for the Mayors, and the songs of Peggy Taylor, with Dawes Butler, Peter Leach, and June Foray. Bud Sewell speaking.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Please join us again next week, when we switch to another classic genre, the radio western. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.